I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badge.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 389th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my squalid co-host. I don't even know what that word means. I do, actually, but I don't think anybody else does. Today I have the notable R Sigma.
Hello, everyone.
And then, of course, we've got back from last week, because I've shoved him in a closet and just brought him out today, Linian.
I haven't been in a closet since high school.
And welcome to the show, Puckle. This is the Puckle Podcast, the show where we talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the TCG to, I don't even know. I don't know anymore. Dungeons and Dragons. And we talk way more Dungeons and Dragons than we should. But welcome to the show. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that I came up with in 2007 because we were playing Pokemon in basements. I wish there was a better story. I honestly wish there was a better...
pretty good story.
I wish there was a better story. This is just like, man, we play Pokemon in basements. We should be called the Pokemon Underground Champions League because we need a cool acronym. And so we did that. And then we're just like, let's start a podcast. And the podcast had really confusing beginnings. And I do not recommend you go back to episode one, by the way. I know that there are people that have DM'd me on Discord and stuff like that and have like tried to message me. And they go, yeah, I started at episode one and I'm working my way through. And first of all, we're on episode 389. So if we take an average length of a podcast for Puckle, I think it ends up being somewhere around like the hour 15 mark, something like that, about 75 minutes, because some of the older shows were shorter. And that's still awful. Like, if you think about that, that's 389 hours minimum of content.
I hope they played around with their playback speed.
Yeah,
that's a metric critical role at that point. Like,
389 hours, though. Like, think about that. Like, that is almost a month just straight. And they're never going to catch up. And they're listening to things that happened in Gen 4. Like, it's not anything that's worthwhile.
Well, if there was ever a fan base that caters blindly to nostalgia, it's this one.
Kind of. It depends on the nostalgia you have. Let's be completely honest. Like, it's not if you're just like, man, I really miss Chimchar. You know, they're not catering to you. They're catering to the guy that goes, Charizard was the coolest, man. I still got my shiny holographic first edition Charizard. I'm gonna go get it PSA graded. And
gonna go shell out $250 for the new rainbow rare with whatever a Reshiram is.
I think that tag team card is it still 250?
It's just dipped under 200 today.
Okay,
yeah.
Because it was like ridiculously high before that too. Like, I think it went higher than 250.
Oh yeah, no, it was sitting around 280. I think was its peak.
Yeah. Oh god, I just can't imagine ever being that desperate for a card. I just couldn't be. There's just no way.
The Charizard TCG collector is a rare breed of people willing to spend money on things.
All I remember is the Pawn Stars episode where Chum Lee goes and he explains to somebody how Charizard is like the rarest card. And this guy brings in like PSA 9 and 10 holographic Charizards. Like a pile of them. It's just crazy. Why? And he gets them graded and they're like $2,000-$3,000, you know? It's just like, man, I can't afford that. I would never pay that much. I have my one Charizard from childhood and I am done. I am absolutely done. But let's kick it off. Other than talking about TCG and everything, how's things been going, Sigma?
Oh, it's been going well. Though, to be honest, the past few weeks was a lot of TCG grinding.
For packs on TCGO?
Yes, to get like everything from the past few sets, play sets of Jirachi, Pikaram, Zoroark finally. So that was fun.
That's good. At least you got that done, I guess. What about you, Linian? I mean, how's your past week been?
Well, the thing is, after last recording session, I went out and I've actually played my first TCG event by accident. I didn't actually mean to be there when the league was started, but I was, and I had my card, so I just kind of did it. And it's been good. It was okay. I think I took fourth in the tournament.
Wait, there was a tournament?
Well, it was like a league tournament thing. It was just okay. A free tournament. Okay. Turns out, Baby Blacephalon utterly dunks on Zapdos. The guy was much better at the game than me, but could do absolutely nothing, and I just kind of blew him out. So that was fun. It's been interesting. I've been just kind of doing that, playing through Ultra Moon, rather. I got a Salamence by accident.
I think you told us this last week. I don't know if it was on the air or not. I don't remember.
I don't think it
actually
made the cut.
I don't remember, actually, because we have so many conversations in between the segments that I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember. Like, I'll remember vague things and be like, that was probably in the episode, and then I move on with my day.
We didn't get to talk about Berserk Gene, that I remember.
Yeah, we did talk about, we missed Berserk Gene. We talked about that in between, but that's fine. We can talk about that another day. Other than that, I mean, I don't think I've done too much. I've been prepping for Summer League, just to get the gyms up. And I will reiterate what Summer League is so that people at home understand. So Summer League is the annual tournament doohickey thing that we do. You can come to our Discord server. We have 10 gym leaders. You can jump in, battle whenever you want. There's no sign up required. We'll keep a list with everybody's name and whether or not they got a badge by beating a particular gym leader. All the gym leaders are going to have set times, that you can come and find them at. We had some discussions about that earlier this week. And so you can come and find them. We've got a bunch of different types. You can do badges. One of the bigger things, and this will probably be before this even happened, and I'll probably already talk about it, but we're making real badges, and I really just want to push that as hard as I can. Like, I'm going to mention it in this segment, and I'll probably mention it in the next segment, and maybe the segment after that. But I really want to push really hard so that we can make a lot of really cool badges. So right now we're making 4 of the 10 badges in real life. Like, we're physically getting them made. You can see the pictures of the fighting type badge on our Discord server, because that was the one that we kind of sent as a prototype just to see how well the company that we're working with can actually make the pins. And, so there's just like there's a bunch of cool stuff with that. So we're getting fighting, flying, dark, and fire made. And these 4 are really cool. We think they look really good. These are going to be permanent Puckle designs. So next year when we do Summer League, you can actually get these badges as well. If people choose that type, like, these badges will remain permanent. And I'm just super excited. This is like the biggest thing ever. This has been, this was like the second thing we thought of after we launched a Patreon that would have been like the coolest thing to do. Because when we launched the Patreon, we go, man, we just want to pay for web hosting for the podcast. And immediately we got that blown out of the water. I was really surprised by all of the support that everybody was willing to give us. So thank you to all of our patrons currently. But so one of the things that this is really cool about is, like, we can get them made. They are reasonably priced and we'll have a bunch of them forever. And so the big thing I want to cover is how do you get them? What else are we doing? What else is going on? So first of all, we want to try to make a 5th badge. The bug badge, we had a huge redesign process that we were going through on the back end. We think it looks fantastic now, and we would love to be able to create that one as well. However, at our current level of funding, we can't afford to do that. So if we can, before June 1st, hit $550 on Patreon as like a family, that would be fantastic. So I want to sweeten that pot a little bit for you guys and like help you understand what what you might get out of it if you jump into Patreon and stuff like that. So $5 and below are going to remain the same. Though you do get the cool shiny Pokemon. You'll get the shiny Pokemon of the episode, which we still haven't determined. But we'll make sure it's a cool one for you guys. You can jump in at the $5 tier and just get it that way. However, if you want to get these badges physically, there's like three ways to get them. And I'll explain what the three of them are. One, the first one is you can come to PuckleCon, fight the gym leaders, and hope you beat them to get it. I don't know how successful that will be, but we will see. And then we are also going to be giving them out as a Patreon reward at the $10 tier, one a month. It's going to be, I have a list on the website and on the Discord that tells you which month each one comes out. So you can check that out and you can get the badges at the $10 tier. Every month you'll get a badge as well as like a letter that I send out to the $10 patrons. You'll get that just so you get a cool update on what's going on in my head, what's going on in my noggin, and what Puckle's planning. The third way is because we have a tournament, if you get 8 badges at the end, you get to go into a single elimination tournament. If you win that single elimination tournament, you get a copy of Sword or Shield. I shouldn't say a copy of Sword and Shield. A copy of Sword or Shield. And also you'll get a set of the badges. Those are the three ways to do it. So if you guys could, we'd really appreciate it. We're also considering throwing together a separate tier for one for the international people, because your shipping is so much more expensive than it is to ship domestically in the United States. I'm sorry. That's just how mail works. It's probably going to be a $15 to $20 tier, depending on shipping costs. Or we can work a thing out where you guys join the $10 tier, but you pay your own shipping. Unfortunately, shipping's just horribly expensive, to get a pin to you. Cause literally once it gets above like a quarter inch thick, any package that gets sent to say the UK is like $13, $15. It's absolutely stupid. And then, but then we're also talking about putting together a new $30 tier where if you sign up for that for 1 month, you just get all of the badges. If we do any of these new tiers, nothing's going to be launched until, none of it's going to be launched until June 1st, because I don't want people signing up for the $30 tier unless we have more content ready for it, and then getting charged twice for it. So let's just, keep that all in mind. And, yeah, I think that's a happy camper for me. But yeah, June 1st, if we can hit 550, we can get a fifth badge done, and you can have a chance to win that one at PuckleCon. You can have a chance to get that one sent to you, and I think in the current time scale it would be October. But we would really appreciate it, all your help, just to make something awesome. And together, all the patrons and us, we're just building this awesome Pokemon community, and I'm super happy and super proud of what we're getting accomplished. And I thank Linnea and R Sigma for letting me go on this probably 5-minute rant.
It was close to 5 minutes, about. Yeah.
So that's where we'll end it. We're going to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue some epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, there's very little going on. It's very confusing. This is like a really weird, awkward time because they're waiting a really long time to get Sword and Shield information out. And I don't know what's going on. I hope something this week. I hope, or next week. I do not guarantee any of that.
Not anymore.
I don't guarantee anything until E3. But like, we will hear more at E3 because the Pokemon Let's Go countdown will be done then and everything. I'm just very confused. It's fine. I don't know anymore.
As the resident Sword and Shield prophet, a title claimed previously, when I correctly predicted the sheer volume of that first trailer, I think we're going to get something this Thursday. So keep your eye out, because I'm either going to be horribly wrong and this will be hilarious, or I'm going to be right and I will continue just to be the Sword prophet.
I feel like that's too specific, and I feel like you getting right what was in the trailer is not the same magnitude of predicting what day the trailer comes out.
You doubt my power, Thatch.
Yes, absolutely.
You doubt my power.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. All right. So a few things happened this week. First of all, we got a really surprise launch of a mobile game that was announced like 3 years ago called Pokemon Rumble Rush. So if you're a fan of the Pokemon Rumble series, welcome to Microtransaction Land. you can once again play Pokemon Rumble on your cell phone, and you can just, I mean, it's just Pokemon Rumble. It's not that great of a mechanic, in my opinion. You just run through and you tap the screen and you punch things. And you catch some Pokemon and that look like toys. Done. Got that out of the way.
Yeah, it's only in Australia right now, so.
Yes.
Whenever we
Sparky,
get that.
Let us know how it is.
Yeah. In other news, Pokemon Go specifically, we got two big things that happened in Pokemon Go. First of all, we just ended an event, so of course that means it's time for another event. That event being the Raid Week that's going to be happening starting May 21st. So actually the day after this comes out, from May 21st to May 28th, just a bunch of Pokemon in raids. It looks like Bronzor is coming back to raids, or coming to raids. I don't think it was ever was in raids, actually. And
Bronzor or Bronzong?
Bronzor. Shiny Bronzor will also be available through this event. And there's just like a ton of just increased raids, and you get increased raid experience and increased raid stardust. It's just a bunch of raids, and that's great because I have 37 premium raid passes that I didn't know I had. So I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, and apparently next Saturday is going to be Lapras raid day.
Yeah,
I assume it's
weird.
There's going to be shiny. So
yeah, it's just really weird. I just don't know what's going on. In other news, though, in Pokemon Go, and I think this is arguably more exciting, we finally got the remaining non-legendary Gen 4 Pokemon in the game. We got Cherrim, Leafeon, Glaceon, Magnezone, Probopass, Gible, and a couple other things. Burmy, I think.
We got everything that's not a Rotom that was left. Rotom, yes. And Mime Jr.
Yes, Rotom. Mime Jr.'s still not there?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
That's really weird. I think it's out. I thought so.
It's probably because Mr. Mime's a regional, so
don't want to give out, like, Mime Jr. So, yeah,
how
I figured,
do you do that?
I figured Mime Jr. was going to be a problem. I really thought that was going to be a problem. So they got also new lures to help you evolve your Leafeon and your Glaceon and your Magnezone and your Probopass. There's a magnetic lure, a grassy lure, and an icy lure. Those are the improper names, but that's what they are essentially. And you can they attract Pokemon of a different type. I went and bought all three of them and only used the magnetic lure, which is for Probopass and Magnezone, because mostly I wanted Magnezone. And I sat by the lure for a while. I didn't notice anything of any note while I did it, but it could have been me. I didn't stay for the duration of the lure. I just stayed for like maybe 10-15 minutes. I have heard that if you have the mossy lure, though, like things like Cherubi show up and stuff like that.
I got a Cherim in my house yesterday. So.
Okay, yeah. I'm just very, I mean, it's very interesting and very confusing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what these lures will actually do, or if they actually do it help you attract new Pokemon.
Yeah, and there's also nicknames for these evolutions, just like the past ones had.
Yes.
Oh, what are those?
Linnea?
Linnea and Rhea?
Rhea?
It's the name of the trainers from Sun and Moon that you go around and you defeat for the EVM quest, the EVMZ quest. So that, I mean, that's what it is. I don't know. I'm really excited for it. It seems pretty cool. I'm a fan. I am a fan. You can also sign up for the International Challenge, the May International Challenge. As of right now, the battles start the 24th and go to the 26th. And if you battle in three of them, you get a shiny Tapu Fini. Also, you can potentially get CP. I'm sure it's like 50 CP and it doesn't matter.
50 CP if you win out of like 2,000 people.
Yeah, out of like 2 people. Yeah, it's stupid. I can't believe they lowball it so hard. It's like less than a mid-season showdown.
It's silly.
It just seems like a slap in the face. I feel so hurt.
When you arguably get more use out of the BP prize than you do out of the CP prize, we have a problem.
it's just horrible. Korokoro came out this week as well. Unfortunately, there is no Sword and Shield news. But what we did get was we got more news about Armored Mewtwo. And because they're showing that off, because this is where the Armored Evolution rumor came from.
It doesn't look like it's going anywhere, but we'll get to that later.
I mean, that's not happening. But yeah, it's just, I mean, Armored Mewtwo, it looks okay. I mean, it looks just like it did in the anime, because that's all they're doing.
Except it's more over-designed, and it looks like he has a dual disc on, so he's ready for Battle City.
Yeah, he's ready for Battle City this week. He's going to get his locator cards.
And yep, it's time to clone everyone, I guess.
But it's, I don't know, it's just really interesting to me that, like, they're making such a big deal out of this. This movie is, like, it's just literally something that nobody wanted. Like, this is the, this goes in that pile of things that nobody wanted. I'm sure it's going to have some novelty appeal to the more, the long-term, well, not the long-term fans, but the older fans, people who are fans of Generation 1. I feel like it's going to have some appeal for that audience, but not that much. I feel like even that audience, you're going to get like a 50-50 split between people who care and just people who don't care. Because they're going to be like, man, they just destroyed my childhood by reanimating it and making it look worse than like Rudolph's claymation.
I'm surprised they went with this after I Choose You, I thought was a success.
I thought I Choose You was fantastic. I thought The Power of Us was even better. And I thought that was a great way for them to start taking the movies.
And then they went to this. It's like, oh.
Yeah, because they could have gone to like a cool like Gen 3 story next, you know? Because like we had the Gen 1 story, well, Gen 1 slash Gen 2 story with the Ho-Oh, but like, you know, Gen 1 mostly. And then we had the Gen 2 story with Lugia and Zerora. And then it's just like, oh, and then you could be like, oh, who didn't get a proper movie? Groudon didn't get a proper movie. Make a Groudon movie.
I was going to say, we could have a nice little metal fighting Deoxys defense form and
yeah,
let the bulky boys fight it out. Yeah. But no, we get our movie too.
I do like that the movies, like the only saving grace here is at least they're not shoving movies into the Sun and Moon arcs. You know what
I
mean?
That is nice.
I really appreciate that because I think that was the one thing that was getting really stale with a lot of the Pokemon movies is they were trying to take characters from the anime currently and just shoving them into these plots that and showing the legendary Pokemon there in an unfulfilling way. And I think they gave the reins to the anime now to hold on to the legendary Pokemon. And I think that works out so much better because you get so many more epic moments that actually flow into a story. And it's just so much better. Like, if you haven't watched the Sun and Moon anime, I do recommend it. I hear a lot of people are just like, well, it's not as good as the X and Y anime was. XYZ was fantastic. It had really cool battles. Ash almost won a league. I'm like, yeah, that's not what qualifies a good show. I mean,
on the Pokemon TV app right now, they're up to the Zeraora and Guzzlord episodes. So that might be so worth exciting. To watch.
They're further than Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix doesn't keep up with it at all. Netflix gets it like a dump like once a week, once like every 7 months or something of episodes. I would not use Netflix for that. I would use the Pokemon TV app. The Pokemon TV app is fantastic. If you have a Roku or anything, like you can just watch it on that. And it's just the only thing it doesn't have is autoplay, which is really sad. It's really sad it doesn't have autoplay. But other than that, it's fantastic if you want to watch Pokemon. If you want to watch some Pokemon, just go watch it.
Guess
Pokemon
that's all
TV
it needs
app.
To be good at.
Yeah, I fully recommend that app. I fully recommend it. So other than that, Puckle-wise, like I said at the beginning of this show, we're doing Summer League. You can come and sign up for that. We're going to be doing battles starting on Memorial Day in the United States, which is the 27th of May. So come check that out.
A week.
A week from this episode coming out. You guys can go to our Discord server, run into any of the gym leaders you can find, and start battling it out. I think it's like 9 weeks of badge collection, right? Goes to the end of July. Yeah.
It ends like the last week of July or something.
Yeah, the
like
last
that.
Week of July. So you have that long to get your badges. Then we'll start in August. We'll have the single elimination tournament like we were talking about. And if you win it, you win a copy of Sword and Shield. Sword or Shield. I'm not walking into that one. Sword or Shield. So yeah, we'll take that for what it is. And that is going to be it for the news. We are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. That means no browsers, nothing. You got to use what's in your heads. This segment of the show is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for anything anime. They do a lot of cool art, whether it be Pokemon or just other animes. They do have a Green Tauros design, which I think is really cool. And if you want to go purchase a poster from them with that, I fully support that. They actually gave me one at PuckleCon last year and framed it even. They didn't have to do that. That was way too much. But these guys are fantastic. They're sponsoring this segment. We really like these two. They're just awesome. So go check out AnimeGravy.com. The rules of this segment, though, Sigma and Linian today are going to be competing together as a team. to answer 5 Pokemon themed questions. One of these questions will have a bonus point, and they have one hint that they can use throughout the trivia segment. If they get all the answers correct without using the hint, they also can cash that in for an extra point for a maximum possible total of 7. They are competing against their fellow co-host in a race to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to tpublic.com at the Puckle store to get whatever thing they think is really cool over there. Yeah. So if you guys are ready, I've got the questions locked and loaded.
So through technicality, can we contact Shamu if we need him?
No.
I mean, he'd probably sabotage us anyway, but he would probably
sabotage you. I'm not going to lie.
I don't think he's awake.
That is very realistic. Very realistic. Okay, so our first question is, before Waterfall was an HM, it was the signature move for which Generation 1 Pokemon line?
Hey, that's Seeking.
Seeking. Yeah, no.
That's Seeking. That is absolutely correct. Seeking can learn Waterfall by level up in the original Generation 1 games. So that's 1 point for you guys, 1 for 1. I think you guys are going to get this next one as well, mostly because I think Sigma is the one that brought this to my attention, but I pulled all of these from our Discord, so I wanted to give them all a chance. So this Pokemon was recently named the mascot of the Iwata Prefecture in Japan.
Was this Geodude?
Yeah, it was that Geodude video where he had legs.
Yeah, the Geodude. Yeah, it's the creepy Geodude with legs, and then there was the Haunter for something else. But I think this was the Geodude.
Yeah, I believe its Japanese name is Iwa something. So, which is rock, I believe. But yeah,
Geodude is correct. He also his legs are also purposely like the Photoshop transparency, which I think is really adorable.
Yeah. Now I remember it.
It's really adorable. It's like the Photoshop transparency pattern, and it's great because it's just, I mean, he walks around. They purposely like put words in pictures like over his legs too. I'm just more amazed at like the number of costumes they have in Japan for Pokemon, by the way. Like they have like all the Pikachu costumes. They've got Geodude. They've got Eevee. I think they've got a few more too on top of that.
The Zeraora.
They've got the Sandshrew.
Oh, we have Zeraora too, but it's for a different reason.
I would love to buy one of those costumes, by the way. If anybody knows who's listening to the show right now, or I can buy one of like the Japanese Pikachu costumes, please let me know. Like an official Nintendo Pikachu costume, because I want that one specifically. The other ones kind of look like garbage compared to it.
They're so animated. It's amazing.
Yeah, they can do so much. Like, I will buy one of those. Like, I will legitimately buy one of those if I can. So if anybody knows, this is my call to action. Go find it. But you guys are 2 for 2 right now in trivia. Our next question is the Pokedex entry question, and I think this one might give you a bit of a harder time. Oshawott found this one. This Pokemon's HeartGold Pokedex entry reads, "This Pokemon is said to have endowed humans with the determination needed to face any of life's difficulties. Who's that Pokemon?"
So it's Azelf, right?
I was thinking it's one of the Lake Trio, yeah.
Because Azelf was willpower, Mesprit was emotion, and Uxie was knowledge. I'm like 90% sure it's Azelf.
I'm fine with that.
Azelf is correct. It is hey. Azelf. So that's 3 for 3. You guys are doing pretty well. No redemption point. So this next question has 5 answers. I only need 4 of them from you guys. You could do all 5 if you want to. You want to get all the points. So I want to know, what 5 species of Pokemon can breed with Ditto and produce offspring that will not evolve into the non-Ditto parent?
So one of them is...
Is Nidoking.
Yeah.
And Nidoran female. I don't know if those both count.
Are those separate answers?
Yes, those are separate answers.
Okay. So that's 2.
What other things are, like, split on gender?
Volbeat Illumise is a possibility. Tauros, Miltank is a possibility.
I don't think that those breed like that, though. At least Tauros and Miltank. I'm pretty sure it's Volbeat Illumise.
Yeah, I think Volbeat and Illumise are possible answers there. Let's think of what else there could be, though. Split evolutions don't count, right? Like Burmy?
No, Burmy doesn't count.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think, like, other single-gender Pokemon tend to be, like, Latios or Latias, or
they can't,
like,
breed, Buffalot. Or is Buffalot even single gender? I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it is. No, it's not.
I was gonna say, I think I have a female Buffalot, so that's not a...
Tauros kind of might skim in just because of
I know they combined their dex entry in Sun and Moon. I don't know if they combined their breeding.
They're so old, it might actually work, is the thing.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have happened.
I'm going to need an answer.
Do we want to use our hint? Because I don't think we're going to...
Well, you have four right now. You had four, right?
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
So you're saying Nidoran male female, or Nidoran Nidoking, Nidoran female Nidoking, Illumise, and Volbeat?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those are all correct.
Hey! What's the last one?
Manaphy.
Okay, that...
As soon as I said it, I was like, wait, one thing? Oh.
It's just Manaphy. Manaphy can breed and you get Fionn out of it. Yes. And yeah. It's really weird.
So we got all the hard ones.
I don't even understand why Fionn even exists. I just don't. It's fine.
I don't
know. So that you guys are rolling with the perfect score right now. You guys are 5 out of 4 right now without using the hint. So this next question, as always, is a base stat question. This is just something that I looked up and I thought was cool. What ice type Pokemon has the lowest base defense of all ice type Pokemon?
I
feel like Smoochum is in the running here.
Smoochum is probably it.
I know Jinx has like maybe a 30 in defense, and Smoochum has to be worse, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like all the bad baby, like all the bad ice types that...
Like, I don't think Vulpix could be worse.
No, and like Bergmite, that's like one of its good stats?
Yeah.
Smoochum. I can't think of anything worse.
Like, Cryogonal, if Cryogonal had a pre-evolution, that would probably be whatever that is. But, yeah, I think Smoochum.
All right, for all the pennies here, Smoochum is correct. It has, like, a base 15. It's, like, stupid low.
Like I said, Jinx is, like, a 30.
It's like stupid low. So that changes up the leaderboard here today. So our new leaders in first place, we have Linian with 11 points,
hey.
Followed up by Sigma with 9 points in second place. Tied for third, we have Sublime and Seth Vilo. And in a three-way tie for fifth, we have Basket Snag and Whimsicott. Tune in next time for some more Puckle Trivia things, I guess. Yeah. We're going to kick it on over to the topic after this short break. Hey everyone, I know this is usually where we put a social media commercial, but I wanted to talk about something that I think is more important for Puckle at the moment, just because this is something that's a passion project of mine. So ever since we started Puckle and we've gotten into running gyms over the summer, I think it's always been a dream of ours to be able to have physical badges to represent this. And I know we talked about it a few shows ago, how we are actually getting some physical badges made. So just a little bit of backstory. First of all, we had Basket, who is a wonderful artist. He went ahead and designed 18 badges for different types. We've gone through some back and forth. We've got most of them polished up. At least the 10 for this year we've gotten polished up, and we are really happy with them. And we've actually gone ahead and started making real life badges. The fighting badge is already done. If you've been on the Discord server, you'll note that I posted pictures of the completed one. It's currently being shipped to us. We've sent off 3 more badge designs, so we had the fighting one done. We also sent out the dark, fire, and flying badges, which were ones that we all agreed were very good. And that's pretty much where we are in the funding level right now, is to be able to make those 4. And I really wanted to do this call to action just to kind of let you guys know what I want to do, and just a special offer that I really want to push out there so we can see if we can reach this goal. So I'd really like to be able to do an extra badge this year. And the cost of a badge is, it ends up being, to do a full run, it's going to cost us about $150. And so right now we don't have that. I would love to have it in time for Summer League. I don't know if we will. But if we can push the Patreon to, say, $550 a month, I will go ahead and we'll commission a 5th badge. We'll go ahead and commission probably Bug. I think that one looks the best and we're all happy with it. If we can go ahead and commission the Bug badge for delivery, I think we'd all be very happy with that. But like I said, we need people to go to Patreon and help us get to $550 a month. As a special perk, if you're a domestic resident of the United States, if you do it at the $10 tier, you will also be getting these badges 1 a month until we run out of them, essentially. This is going to be probably the only way to get a hold of these badges at this time. I'd want to set up a storefront, but I don't want to do it until we actually have 10 badges. The other way to get these badges is to come to PuckleCon, of course, and face the gym leaders who have gym badges, and you can get them. But, of course, you could get one more if we hit Patreon at $550 a month. So I really want to do that push. So I'm just letting you know, if 10 of you sign up today at the $10 tier to get these badges, we can go ahead and commission one more badge. So if you guys would be so grateful to help us out with that, I would really appreciate it. It helps us do awesome things, and it's helping us make a really cool Pokemon community that is unlike any other. So be part of this vision with me, please. You guys have done so much that have helped me out, especially our current patrons. Without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do the 4 that we've already done. So I just want to do this push to hopefully get us to $550 a month to see if we can get an extra gym badge out in time for Summer League and in time for everybody to enjoy it at PuckleCon. So please, get that done. I really appreciate it, and I hope to catch you guys later. And I'll let you get back to the show. Listen to the topic. We're going to talk about some cool Pokemon rumors. I'll catch you on the flip-flop. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today are going to be recent Pokemon rumors. I think it's perfect because it's the three of us, honestly. And because I don't like it when people like will come in and they'll just be like, did you hear about the leak? And they'll like send me a list of rumors from PokeJungle. And and I'll be like, it's probably not real. Like, it's not on Serebii. Because people will come in that are new to the Pokemon like news cycle. And this is by far not my first rodeo. This is like my fifth rodeo in this. So, I'm used to the news cycle. I know what happens. I've fallen for a lot of things before. And I also like to think that something unique that the Puckle podcast brings to the table compared to other podcasts or other Pokemon media that you have is that we can break this down in a logical way and give you reasons whether or not you can believe these rumors. And I really just want to break it down. So, we've got two of them. We'll see if we get to all of them. Two sources, I should say, not two rumors in total. So this first one comes from 4chan, and we found it on Sigma, I should say, found it on Twitter. And it's just, it is pretty hilarious. It's one of those things where, like, they should have stopped earlier, because if they would have stopped early on, I would have believed it. Like, I would have been like, yeah, this is all very plausible. But they kind of, like, just start digging themselves a grave halfway through.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to read it word for word, and we can just break down bullet point by bullet point. So Pokemon Master League. There are 7 Pokemon gyms across Galar. Every year, that team scouts a Pokemon trainer, and they are the representative, travel to the other 6 gyms, defeating the gym masters, and collecting a piece of the coat of arms. The representatives that complete the task complete a final competition with one another for the championship cup. I believe that. That's fine. Seems reasonable.
That's fair. Yeah.
Perfectly reasonable. Okay. Player character and rival, Sean. I hope his name isn't Sean. Live in Dustart Town or Dewstart Town, depending on how you want to read that. It's probably a stupid name. Big fans of watching the Pokemon Master League on television. After receiving starter Pokemon, decide to both attempt to win the championship cup for Dewstart Town and put it on the map. Effectively, you're the 8th gym. I like that because it's a nice spin on what we saw in Sun and Moon, where you're the champion.
Mm. Yes.
I feel like it would play well if it's like, you're the gym leader now.
That's a cool little subversion of expectations, and I would not be against something like that.
I wouldn't be against it, and I could see that being completely plausible.
Yes.
Them trying to find a way to do that. Throwing that out there. Professor Poplar, that is a tree, studies the studies the interaction of plants and Pokemon. Weird choice, but that's cool. Daughter and assistant Crystal, spelled Cristle, is battle obsessed.
That's what that name's supposed to be. I couldn't figure it out.
and becomes another rival aiming to win the championship cup from Dustart Town. She carries around a potted plant sticking out of her backpack that is an unknown species. Appears to react positively to Pokemon battles. This sounds like a whole Nami thing. Yeah. And I feel like this is okay. We're starting to like, I'm feeling the train rock on the tracks right now. Okay. It's plausible, but I feel like that's a really stupid Pokemon.
And studying plants is not terribly exciting compared
also,
to what
we Also, it's
had.
Not typical of what they typically have the professor do in each generation, especially now, right?
Yeah, they focus on something new, a new mechanic.
Not that I could tell you what Juniper studies, but...
Well, the only reason I want to bring it up is because of... I mean, you know how we've played Fire Emblem, at least Sigma and I have. And
yeah, I played Fire Emblem.
Yeah, so there's always that debate of like post-awakening and pre-awakening. right? That's like the shift in the timeline.
Yeah.
That's the shift in like game. Okay, so let me propose a new one for Pokemon, and that's pre and post X and Y. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at X and Y and Sun and Moon, there's a lot of similarities, and it looks like they're trying to like create a pattern on how to make a Pokemon game essentially. And if you look at X and Y, we have Professor Sycamore is like, Mega Evolution is the best thing ever. And that was the mechanic that was introduced. And then you've got Sun and Moon, where you have Professor Kukui is like, I only study Pokemon moves. And then you have Z moves as the mechanic gimmick, right?
Yep.
I would fully expect us to see a professor who is into whatever the quote-unquote gimmick is here. Granted, I'm okay with there not being a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fully okay with there not being a gimmick. I think Pokemon hopefully realizes this as well. Like, man, we've kind of like just done a ton of gimmicks lately. I don't think we should keep doing that. I don't know, though. We'll find out. But yeah, I think studying plants is really odd. Unless it somehow ties into like a legendary that fills the plot. I don't think that'll happen with the gym or with the professor here. Gym masters include Heather, fire type. In addition to being a gym master, she is a skilled mechanic who works on trains in her spare time.
Sure, Seamus, that's reasonable.
The water type. Gym master is well regarded for his good looks.
I don't buy it on either front because their names aren't puns.
Yeah, they are. Seamus is Seamus. Heather, heat her.
But Heather, like, Britain Heather, all I'm thinking is, like, the plant. The
but it still has heat in it. It's a pun.
It still has heat. It's a pun. And then you have Shoot, the grass-type gym leader. A star baseball player from Unova, he decided to switch professions and prove to be equally good at Pokemon battling. I want that to be true, but it won't be. Just gonna throw that out.
Yeah. That part is actually...
I would love there to be a gym leader from an older region. I would love that. Especially Unova. Like, that's a callback that I feel like we just don't get a lot of. I'd be okay with that. Now he starts breaking down new Pokemon, and I think this is where we start to go, man, I feel one wheel up on the air on this train.
Maybe Heather can help us fix it.
New fire Pokemon, Rose Tail, red squirrel Pokemon with a large tail that acts as a heated blanket. It can use to keep its young warm, as well as roast nuts. The new ability, this is not happening because it's impronounceable, Flambe, which increases the effectiveness of HP restoring berries. Heather uses it in Sword, but switched to Fletchling for Shield.
Oh. That's so sad.
New normal Pokemon, Snoop Pup. Bloodhound with huge ears covering eyes but big nose. A popular Pokemon in the Galar region among elders due to its ability to find lost items. Has Pickup and Frisk as abilities.
That one's boring enough to work.
That is boring enough to work, yes. A new rock Pokemon, Cavity. A monstrous mouth of stalactites and stalagmites that pretends to be a cave entrist. Entrance, devouring those who enter. That seems like it's too big.
Yes.
New ability, Swallow Hole, H-O-L-E, which traps Pokemon it hits with biting moves. Okay.
I think the ability is cool, but I think the Pokemon description...
Yeah, I think it's too big of a Pokemon. I don't know if they would do that.
Yeah, it sounds like a legendary type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
The sound of the size of a Guzzlord, which is not something you'd see often.
I mean, Steelix is huge and not a legendary, but...
He's not fat, though. That's the thing. He's not like... He doesn't have a lot of volume. all right, so new poison ice Pokemon, Virice, a dangerous virus frozen in a prison of ice. It emits smoky gas that is dangerous to breathe. New ability, Black Ice, which causes all vulnerable Pokemon to be badly poisoned when it's hit by a fire-type attack. That's a stupid ability. That's just not happening. Like,
it also dies.
It also dies, yeah, right?
To everything. Poison Ice resists basically nothing.
It does. It resists Poison Ice and...
Fairy? Bug?
Fairy and Bug, yeah.
Oh, grass too, I think.
Yeah, but that's because of grass.
You're not seeing any of those types being used offensively either.
No.
So,
I guess fairy.
Except ice.
It. Ice, okay, and fairy. Good and so resistances.
The train's about to jump the tracks. A Ditto follows you around. Can transform into the three starters and follow you. Grookey can climb objects. Scorbunny can explore narrow spaces. Sobble can find underwater caves. Transforms into ride Pokemon as well.
including riding Rapidash, flying on Star Raptor, and surfing on Feraligatr.
Giving Feraligatr any love.
I'm so sad about all of this. Also transforms into D-pad, in quotes, an iPad-like device that acts as the pause screen with a mix of gimmicky features such as a real-world planner with useful functions such as type chart, tutorial videos, town map. Also, the home of the Wi-Fi features. Pokedex is a normal Dex this time around, resembles a Switch a bit, and can dock into the Pokemon Center's PCs.
Okay, that last part would be cool. That last part I like.
I think that's reasonable to expect as well, because every Pokedex essentially just resembles the console that it's on.
But it resembles the console before it is the thing, typically. So Rotom...
No, it does the console it's on.
It does the console it's on. Let's go look at the Gen 3 Pokedex and tell me that's not in the Game Boy Advance.
For some reason, I thought it was the previous one.
Nope. Absolutely wrong. There wasn't anything before a Game Boy.
Well, that's... That's why it was the weird, like, anime floppy disk thing. I don't know how to describe that.
It's a Game Boy.
No, the one in the anime was not at all. It was like
yes,
a weird
it is.
Pad thing.
Yes, it is. No, it's a Game Boy. It's got a D-pad on
it. Just has a cover.
It. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's all it is.
Okay.
So, the part of this that makes sense is that they do need to figure out something to replace Rotom Dex and Poké-Ride with.
They do need to Poké-Ride. They do need to replace Poké-Ride.
Yeah. And I assume they're going to replace Rotom Dex too.
Please.
But I don't know if Ditto's like
Ditto's not the answer. That's
the thing you could think of. Yeah.
That's super low tech. That's not happening. Alright, so remember Armored Evolution. Get ready. This guy explains it and it's almost plausible. You find 18 elemental armors in the game that a Pokemon can hold based on the types. One Pokemon per battle can armor set! On that turn, they protect. So free protect just for holding an item. So let's keep that in mind and how stupid that is. They become the corresponding type defensively, but have stab based on natural typing. Which is, that's a decent mechanic, I think. Like, you can, the problem is you're only going to ever use the steel armor then. You're never going to be like, man, I really want to, I can't wait to use the ice type armor.
But you really need that ice type resist. Come on, how else are you going to beat Bolt Beam?
Obviously, yeah. We throw that on our Landorus to really throw them off.
Right? Reduction in speed, but defensive boost corresponds to the old type physical special distinction reversed, meaning fire and water get defense up, fighting and bug get special defense up. Also, bonus abilities based on armor. Fire can burn on contact. Grass heals on grassy terrain. So everybody heals on grassy terrain, so I don't quite understand this.
I think they mean heal extra. The biggest point this thing brings up that completely debunks it for me is now they have to figure out what to do with fairy, and I don't
think it's a special type because there's an evolution.
I mean, you can say that, but it was never one way or the other, and now they're going to have to go in and add that, and I just think
that's
messy.
Fine. I don't think that's messy at all. I don't think that's what they were basing the distinction off of. It's just like, oh, we already have this existing mechanic in place, so then they can go and do it. Granted, I still don't think this is real. I don't think Armored Evolution is real, so... I do want to make that clear, but I think it's just something that they could be like, oh, we had this old existing thing and just throw fairy into it. It's not like hidden power where it causes issues.
I'm sure there will be a fan game in like 2 or 3 years that will use this mechanic and it'll be cool. But
yes, I think that's
like the
proper answer.
One and just suck.
Pokemon have unique armor looks, same armor design regardless of what type, but the aura surrounding them changes color. Rapidash wearing horse armor, Electivire gets Giganator? Is that what
Gigantor.
It is? Gigantor armor. Mind Shao looks like he came from Dynasty Warriors. Merely cosmetic bonuses and don't grant additional bonuses beyond what armor normally does. Galar region.
That's too much work.
Yeah, right?
To be fair, Genius Sonority has been not working on Shuffle for like the past year now. They could have been the ones put on this work.
Absolutely not.
They were imagine... Why are all of the armors just winking? I don't...
I mean, they were the ones responsible for the models, I believe, in the original Stadium games.
Very possible, that's true.
Well, that explains why the shadows were so bad in Let's Go, I guess.
Galar region is the birthplace of Pokemon battles. Used to be violent gladiator battles till two warriors were engaged in a Pokemon battle that lasted an entire year. neither one giving an inch. With both teams of trainer and Pokemon expiring at the conclusion of the fight, a technical tie. Their weapons and armor were crafted into two suits of armor, representing them and being held in high esteem. This led to Pokemon battling being revised to be a more honorable and rule-based instead of chaotic battles. I don't buy it. It's fine.
No.
No.
War was invented in one region only.
Yeah, right?
You're telling me that people looked around, saw Pokemon shaped like swords, dragons, but only one place. They're like, yeah, they should fight. What? No!
All right, yes. And so, let's see. So, we've got, the next one is Sword Legendary is Divine Assault Pokemon Romadeus. Shield Legendary is Heavenly Guard Pokemon Remedeus. Both pure steel Pokemon and are living suits of armor. Romadeus is blue and more streamlined, while Remedeus is red and bulkier. Exist as their own Pokemon, but also can be turned into e-armor. A Pokemon equipped can transform into wielded Romadeus or wielded Remedeus. These are the same living armors, but now have a black wolf creature actually wearing the armor. In this form, they have the stats of steel typing of Romadeus and Remedeus, but retain the moves and normal stab of the Pokemon wearing the armor. And these are the forms seen on the cover. No, just absolutely not. Like, there's so many things wrong.
There's so many wrong.
Sounds like a logistical mess.
It's just awful. This isn't happening. No.
All I could say is it was fun while it lasted, but you're not going to rock me, Remedeus.
Okay, so yeah, that's not happening. That's not happening.
But yeah, you saw how it started out reasonable.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. No, it's awful.
Then it collapsed.
Yeah.
On
it just
itself.
It just collapsed on itself. Yeah. This is horrible. Like I thought it was okay. I just wanted to break this down though, because I'm sure this is going to be something that hits the mainstream at some point. And I know that, like, I'm going to be seeing people sending me images of these things, and I just don't want people to do it and think that they're real. The other one that came out recently is, and we can just cover this very briefly, because it's not very, very large. It's Branching Evolutions. This one has caught a little bit more traction, I think. And this one is supposed to tell you, this one suggests that Pokemon can evolve two separate ways, and they're going to give split evolutions to old Pokemon. But like, they're not picking like Pokemon who'd like need an evolution or something like that, right? They're actually like taking something like Totodile and talking about giving that a split evolution, which I think is absurd and ridiculous.
I mean, the Johto starters do need something.
Yeah, just a Mega. Just give them a Mega.
They're so bad.
Give them a Mega.
I mean, like, we've talked on the show, I mean, even with me, about how split evolutions are a fun little answer to the Eviolite problem. I don't think they're going to go and touch their precious starters. There's so much marketing in that. Yeah. I don't think you want to alter that at all.
Back when Sword or Sun and Moon was coming out, there were rumors of Alolan Bulbasaur, I believe.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to touch the starters in that way. Like, mm-hmm. They're sacred. They're sacred. You don't touch them in that way. And I don't think that's going to happen. Also, they said that Professor Elm was the one studying it, which is wrong. That's not what he does. He
studies Pokemon breeding.
Yes. Oh, man. So, that is, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, not too much else going on right now. We're waiting for that news. Once the news drops, we will cover it. So, keep your eye out for that. But I think I like going through this and just kind of, like, ripping it apart.
it's a good laugh and it's nice to see where the community is.
And I just kind of want to, and this was something that was huge back when Sun and Moon was coming out with all of the rumors and the leaks, the whole alchemy thing.
Oh, it's
got
happening.
So awful. So this is my open plea to our listeners. Don't set yourself up for disappointment about things other people are telling you. Do your own research, because if you're going in completely expecting one thing and they don't deliver it, you're going to be disappointed about something that was never on the table. Just have a little bit of patience, have a little bit of faith in Game Freak. Don't set yourself up to be disappointed. They're going to do something cool, it's going to be fun, or at the very least fun to laugh at. Don't make it bad for yourself.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Just, if you set up your expectations, especially with these leaks, it's just you're going to end up getting crushed, and you're not going to have a good time. But that's where I'd like to leave it. I think this is a good place to stop, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back at you guys with the Pokemon of the episode. Are you guys looking to get some cool Puckle swag? Well, we got a couple great shirts for you over at the Puckle Tee Public Store. You can get something like the PuckleCon 2019 shirt, which is coming up in just like 6 weeks. It's super close. Very excited for that. Or if you want, Basket just put up the Old Viridian Guild t-shirt. So if you want to go check out all of the artwork of all of the co-hosts for the show put together in one awesome piece, and you can go get like an awesome tapestry of it, or a t-shirt, or an art print of some sort. It actually looks really cool, and I hope you guys go check it out. I think it's great. It's a nice celebration of all of us who we are putting our hearts and souls into the show. But if you go over to Puckle Tee Public, there's plenty of other cool designs as well. As always, the link is in the show notes, and everything you buy there does come back and help support the show, helps us do awesome things. Like I said earlier, it helps us make those cool badges for Summer League. So if you guys are interested, please check it out. Support the show. Until then, I will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 806, the Blacephalon, the fireworks Pokemon.
It slithers towards people. Then, without warning, it triggers the explosion of its own head. It's apparently one kind of Ultra Beast.
I like that it slithers.
Yeah, that's just... Ugh.
That's what
I'd expect. So Blacephalon's a good Pokemon. it's an Ultra Beast, so it's like hyper offensive. It's base 151 special attack, base 127 attack. Both those are actually really solid. Mm-hmm. And base 107 speed, which is really nice because you get bumped up above those base 100 mons, which is like a huge speed tier.
But you don't outspeed that Keldeo.
You don't outspeed Keldeo, but I don't know that there's ever a situation. Well, actually, it's a Blacephalon, so you could probably beat it with the Shadow Ball after like one or two KOs.
True.
Without a problem. But even then, if like Keldeo sneezed at it with a base defense of 53, I feel like it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Like, you click Aqua Jet on Keldeo because you're that guy. And you go ahead and you just knock out Blacephalon. Well, other than that, we got the team today built around Blacephalon, and I'll let Lydian start off because he has a relationship with Blacephalon that I can't rival.
Words can't really describe. It's a spiritual one. So Blacephalon, we are doing a pretty typical kind of Blacephalon. We're running it with specs, Tib in nature, 252 special attack, 252 speed for special defense. We're running it with Fire Blast, Shadow Ball, just for your stab, and then Hidden Power Ground. I mean, you kind of get walled out by Toxapex,
and Heatran. And Heatran mostly.
Yeah. And so those are kind of, it's a way to kind of deal with that. Last move slot, there is Trick. With any choice item, it's kind of fun being able to slap specs on a physical attacker, or even better, something that doesn't have any attacks at all. You just completely mm-hmm. neuter something. It's a very efficient trade there, but you are going to lose a lot of kill power. As far as usage goes, click Fire Blast or Shadow Ball unless it's a Heatran. It's not hard to do.
Trick is just mostly because Blacephalon doesn't get like a very deep move pool. No. It's like it gets fire type moves, it gets ghost type moves, and I think it gets like a random other type.
Gets
like,
knockoff?
It gets knockoff, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to do something kind of silly and a little spicy, running explosion is never expected, but can sometimes work. Trick is probably going to get you more mileage, but it's an option.
Trick will out. It does get psychic type coverage, but why would you need psychic type coverage?
And by psychic type coverage, I mean like just psychic.
Yeah, it gets psychic Psyshock.
Oh, get Psyshock? Psyshock?
It gets Psyshock, yeah. Fun fact.
Yeah, but it's one of those fire Pokemon that doesn't actually get Solar Beam.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's really, really weird.
So it's just
the shiny looks cool though.
Yeah. It's just your standard smack you down, special attacking beat stick. As far as Rabombi is the real heart of the team. It's running a focus sash to make sure that you get one move off at least with Shield Dust, an ability that makes any secondary effects of moves fail. It's kind of rare,
but like, it's Venmoth mostly there for fake out.
Yeah,
it's just inner focus. It's inner focus.
It's fancy inner focus. EVs, it's got 252 special attack, four special defense, 252 speed, timid nature. It's running your sticky web to make sure that you can get that. A lot of the Pokemon on this team aren't particularly fast. So getting this will take out even the speedy things. It'll put everything into your punch range. Sticky Web is great. Moonblast is there to just knock out anything that really stays in. It's just a reliable stab. HP Fire, because this team doesn't have enough hatred for Ferrothorn.
Yeah.
Seth Vilo's favorite move, Stun Spore, comes in handy a lot more often than you think, especially with a Sash. You throw webs, you only have one HP. What you gonna do? Well, paralyzing something sounds pretty good.
It's also really handy on Pokemon that can't be affected by webs.
Mm-hmm.
Like flying types, I think that's really prominent. I think that helps out a lot.
Paralyzing a Landorus is a really nice feeling.
Paralyzing, yeah. or a Celesteela or something like that that's just not going to get that speed drop. I mean, it doesn't really need the speed drop, but Celesteela not being able to protect or not being able to just do its stally shenanigans is welcome.
Yes, very much so. So we were just like, man, how do you fill out this team? Well, we got the start of two great cores. We got a fairy type, we got a fire type. So let's build on those. First up is Kyurem Black. We need the physical attacker to kind of complement our Blacephalon. And ICMZ, Kyurem Black, pretty standard set. 252 speed, 252 attack. He's just fantastic. I love Kyurem Black. There's not much else to say about that. You're running Ice Beam, Free Shock for the ICMZ. I guess you could technically run ICMZ just on Ice Beam, and if you want to run Outrage or something like that, or you could just not run Ice Beam. I think those are both terrible moves. Bolt Strike, and then Earth Power is probably the move you can play with the most. Though on this team, we really needed some kind of ground coverage, and it's very welcome on Kyurem Black. Following that up, though, we also have Rotom Wash, because it's a Rotom Wash, because you know what's scary for Blacephalon? Rocks. It absolutely hates rocks. And so Rotom, I mean, Defog was probably the coolest move that Rotom got ever in Gen 7. And so it gets Defog, you run Defog, Will-O-Wisp, Hydro Pump, Volt Switch, pretty standard Rotom Wash. You just go and you blow them out of the water, blow away those rocks. And he's got decent offensive power too. Like, he's a solid pivot. I am a big fan of Rotom Wash, always have been. So good on him. 252 HP, 200 defense, and 56 speed because that outruns a thing. What the thing is, I don't know off the top of my head, but it does outrun a thing. So you can definitely, that's a great standard Rotom set, though. I really love it. Just lefties burn things with Will-O-Wisp. That comes in handy several times. I think it's just really big and really awesome. You're up, Sigma.
All right, so we close out both cores with one Pokemon in Kartana. We needed another physical attacker, so Kartana is a solid grass Pokemon that also has steel properties. It holds a Choice Scarf. It's a great revenge killer. Its EVs are max out attack, max out speed. The last points in HP doesn't really matter, I don't think. Jolly Nature and standard Leaf Blade, Sacred Sword, Smart Strike, knockoff.
I would like to point out that I think most of the battles that we played were played with the first were played with the other four that weren't Kartana or Blacephalon. but I think it's just mostly because Blacephalon and Kartana are just like super sweepers, and they'll come in and they'll just start cleaning stuff up. Depending on the situation.
They have the pressure that puts on your opponent to not mess up, because if they do mess up, they will come in and take full advantage of that.
Here are two really bad snowballs.
Yes.
We could probably get away without a Choice Scarf on Kantaran too, but I feel like it's just kind of there just in case Sticky Webs gets blown away or something.
Yes. And then for our final member of the team, we have a Tapu Lele, because we want that Psychic Surge ability to come in and stop Sucker Punches on our Blacephalon, is really what it comes down to. Most of the recommended Tapu Lele sets are either a Choice set or a Z set. And we already have Z move with Kyurem, and we already had plenty of Choice item users. So we didn't want to do any of those. We gave it a Mind Plate instead. We're going to go Timid, Max Speed, Max Special Attack with the extra points going in Special Defense. Psy Shock, because we do have an issue with physical or special defensive Pokemon with this team, having so many special mons on it. So Psyshock will hit the physical defense on Pokemon. We have Moonblast, because it's Tapu Lele, and that's a standard choice. We have Calm Mind to just set up in front of something, and Hidden Power Fire, because we hate Ferrothorns, and also Kartana, maybe a little bit.
Also, the Psychic Train is super important for it to stop priorities, such as like Maw Isle and stuff like that, which the team had problems with.
Yes. So that's why we have Tapu Lele here. And that's the team.
It's just good. Yep. There we go. That's the team. If you wanted that shiny Blacephalon, just go check out the Patreon at patreon.com/apucklepodcast, where you can sign up at the $5 tier or higher if you want those cool gym badges. And we'll be distributing shiny Blacephalon this week. So that is going to be it for the poke of the episode. We are going to shift gears and we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Hooves.
And as always, we'll give out the Green Taurus badge if we remember or something. This is the part of the show where we read listener emails. You can send them in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Last week, we asked you what you thought of the Detective Pikachu movie, and we got a couple of responses. So the first one up is Moriarty. Sigma, you got this one.
All right. Hello. I think Detective Pikachu was a good screen test. They foreshadowed all the Pokemon's relevant abilities. People may not have noticed an early one that pays off in a big way later, but it's shown during the news station scene. That said,
I have no idea what that is.
Not at all.
Not 100% sure either, unless it's talking about Ditto, but moving on. That said, Lucy Stevens' actress was... I did not enjoy her performance. That could be direction or editing, though, but her intro scene felt like it was done in one take, and I completely agree with that personally. I do as well. That was a really awkward scene.
Yeah.
did not lead me to being favorable on that actress, but I thought she did better towards the end. So
the rest of the movie, mm-hmm. she did pretty well in, but that opening scene was just wonky.
It didn't follow the tone of the movie at all.
No.
Whatsoever.
It really felt so out of place. Oh. So yeah, I'm with you there. As for the healer Pokemon, wasn't that essentially the role they settled into by XY? I thought this was the case, though I could be misremembering. Ah well, Gen 6, right?
Gen 6. Shiny Gen 1.
I was honestly expecting Xerneas to show up in that scene with more alarm.
That would have been great.
That would have been so good.
That's where I expected that scene to be going, by the way. I was really disappointed by Mewtwo as well. But, oh well.
Weren't we all?
Weren't we all? Finally, merging Pokemon reminded me of the idea I had for a potential Fire Emblem and Pokemon crossover.
Oh no.
Essentially, that you would have Pokemon Druids who blurred the line between the two.
They had a manga about this.
Yes, they did.
It was bad.
These and more traditional unit types from both respective franchises would make up the core of your army, but also the units you would face. The units would have 4 move slots, but the fight would take place on a grid-based, something like Mario Rabbids, or a more
Or Fire Emblem.
or, let me throw this out there, Pokemon Conquest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. If only there was a tactical strategy Pokemon game.
If only that game existed.
I mean, if they keep making starters evolve into RPG classes, eventually we'll get a game like this. We've only been doing it for the past 3 generations. We have a bard now, and an archer, and I don't know what Incineroar is. He's a barbarian.
Berserker.
Barbarian, berserker, something.
He's a barbarian who took grappler feats for some reason.
But we've been having those for a while. So, or for more tabletop based inspiration, D&D 4th edition, Strike, or PTU. Could be used as the basis for how this would feel. But basically...
You mean like every other game like this?
It'd have type damages, status effects, and forced movement to really drive home the strategy portion. All right. Well, that's enough fan fiction. I think that's supposed to be hopping... Oh, hoping Rhyme City is indeed in Galar.
It ends up
being a cool to visit. Later, Moriarty, and then I think we have some addendums, but I don't know how important those are. Oh.
I don't know. They're just like second emails entirely, but we can't read everybody's like second thoughts on the show like that. I don't want to encourage that behavior.
We have an unread email section. It might go there. We'll see.
Yes, it very well may. All right. So thank you for that. We've got one more from Alolan Durgs.
Hello, Thatch and Puckle gang. Alolan Durgs here, writing in for the second time to answer this week's mailbag. Sort of. I haven't seen Detective Pikachu yet, and at the time of writing this email, it's Wednesday morning, and there hasn't been any new Sword and Shield news. Perhaps we'll get a bit in the evening's Direct, even though Super Mario Maker 2 is the feature? We didn't, and we won't. It's good.
Also, never, unless it's a Pokemon Direct, never expect Pokemon news.
I wanted to see the Pichu amiibo costume for Super Mario
Maker. Okay, but that I could get behind. Since I am unable to answer the mailbag, I will leave you with a question. Well, two, actually. Those of you attending Nationals/PuckleCon, what are you looking forward to the most? I recently booked my flight, so I can confirm I will be attending PuckleCon. I'll be competing in the Pokken Tournament DX, but I also have an interest in competing in VGC to make it the most worthwhile. However, I'm a total newbie in the VGC scene, and I don't keep up with the meta. Any tips for someone who's just looking to have fun, or any gimmicky teams going around I could use for funsies? I'm hoping to have my Summer League battle with Thatch, and as many gym leaders IRL, that's in real life for you newbies, as I can. I'm really looking forward to meeting you all, hanging out, and having a good time at the event. I'll cut it here before it gets too lengthy. Thanks for making Monday my favorite day of the week. A warm and sunny Alolan flip-flop. Alolan Durgs. Hashtag no green Taurus bag. Hashtag I used to listen to the Dexcast too.
But hashtag no green Taurus bag. I don't think that's a Dexcast reference. Like, you realize like this was not exclusive to them, right?
At the end of emails, very much worth.
He literally had one hashtag.
It's fine.
That's how it starts, and then it just goes further and further.
Like, I was doing the same thing for the longest time, like, because that was like the trendy joke. It wasn't just them.
Yeah, but it was a thing anyway. So
it wasn't just them. It wasn't their thing.
It became their.
That's not how social conventions work.
Look, all I'm saying is, we're cops kept showing up way too much at the end of emails about Pokemon for it not to be a thing. So as far as what we're looking forward to at PuckleCon the most, this is dumb.
First of all, you should buy a spectator pass, by the way. If you're planning on coming, they are actually making you buy a spectator pass this year. And those at other tournaments have a history of selling out.
And those can be pre-ordered online or purchased?
And they can be pre-ordered online right now. They are only $10 for the whole weekend.
Do it.
It's better than you sitting outside of security while I'm inside security.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. I mean, I don't expect them to sell out very fast, but like they only lasted for 3 days for Worlds last year.
Yeah, but Worlds is a different thing. So
Worlds is slightly different than Nationals. I do agree with that, but
still
at the same
yours.
Time, I can definitely see it selling out.
Yes, buy yours.
Because this is the most like prevalent Nationals, I think, yeah. In terms of like spectators.
As far as what I'm looking forward to, it's dumb, but I'm so looking forward to being a gym leader with actual badges to give out. That just makes 5-year-old me so happy.
Make Shamu happy by going to patreon.com/pucklepodcast today.
Because he doesn't have badges yet. If we get enough,
yes, he won't get them. He won't get them either. If we don't hit $550 on Patreon by the end of the month, just throwing that out there. Make Shamu happy.
Well, what about you guys? What are you guys looking forward to doing?
Not having people stay at my house.
The pre-release style events for DCG.
Yes,
that's
always fun.
That'll be fun to do a draft or two. I don't know. I just like going. It's always a good time just to get involved and just kind of play around and talk with everybody. That's the reason I go. I'm not going because of the Nationals event. I'm literally going because Pokemon's putting on a party and I get to go to it. and I'll just go. They also they have a history of having a Pokemon Center too while we're there. So I do want to go shop around that. Other than that, yeah. Also North Market. I want to go to North Market.
North Market's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go to North Market. So, that's it. I guess that's where we'll end the mailbag segment, too. We don't have any more emails today. Thank you to those of you who did write in. And if you want to write in next week, you can, again, send it in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what you think of these newest rumors. Do you think they're real? Are there any rumors out there that you think are real or anything that you think has credibility out there? let us know. Send it in, pucklepodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, you can check us out on our social media over at Twitter, Facebook, wherever social media is sold. Instagram, I think that's the other one we're using. And then, of course, you can always catch up on Puckle with more episodes. I think you're going to get a double drop over the weekend of TCG Cast and also Puckle Live. So keep your eyes out for that. You get some extra Puckly goodness in your life. And then I think this week Battlecast is supposed to come out, actually. I think this is a month with five Thursdays. I think it is.
Maybe? I don't know if there's a Thursday left.
There is in the last week. It goes to Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the 31st is a Friday. So there's a fifth Friday. Don't expect anything. Or fifth Thursday. Don't expect anything because I don't think we have anything planned. And then, of course, you can go ahead and follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Puckle, the Puckle Podcast, where Jushiro, myself, and Orange stream. This is where I'm going to be doing all my gym battles for Summer League as well, by the way. So be sure to check out the stream. You can battle me on stream. Get a gym badge, maybe. I'll, like, throw it at the camera, and you guys can think about getting it or something. Other than that, though, check out our YouTube channel. We're really putting out videos over there, and we would really appreciate you if you go subscribe. We're trying to push that channel back to over 1,000 subscribers so that we can actually get repartnered. So if you could help us do that, we would really appreciate it. And there's other things I usually say. If you want to support the show directly, like I said, patreon.com/pucklepodcast. That is how we're going to be doing the gym badges. If we hit 550 by the end of the month, that's great. Also, if we hit 500, we bring back movie nights, just in general. So keep that in mind. Like, just hit $500 and we'll get movie nights back too. So, I mean, this is like a win-win-win for the community overall.
And this is just something to note. Every dollar that comes in through Patreon, it's not like we pocket any of it. All of it goes back into...
$0.
Yeah. All of it goes back into the community, whether it's prizing, events, merchandise, whatever that what we get with that money, we don't keep. Thatch does not see a dollar of that. None of us do. It goes straight back towards you guys.
Exactly. It goes back into the show. It goes back everywhere. Like, it's nothing that we profit from. Maybe, I think we do like one group meeting at PuckleCon where like we'll try to get together and we'll have a meal. That's probably about it. Just because we're like, yeah, we put in a lot of hours. Like, we actually keep time cards now.
Yeah.
And we do actually. And a lot of us put in a significant number of hours. Into this project because we're just trying to build a community. This is a community of love, and we're just trying to. It's also a project of love. It's all passion, and I think everybody that kind of shows in the product that we're trying to do. Other ways to support us, you can go over to tpublic.com and check out all the cool merchandise over there. I think we're going to be on sale later this week as well. So if you want to get that PuckleCon shirt, this is your chance because it takes forever to ship to you. So go do it now, like right now. Get off your phone, listen to this podcast, and go do it right now.
There's nothing left anyway. You'll be fine.
All right. So here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm R Sigma.
And I'm Lydian.
And it's closing time.
Flip side.
And as always, we here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons for making what we do possible. You can go over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast yourself to help out with the show if you want to help us out. Making badges, making pretty much anything. The podcast, we use that funding for everything. We don't spend it on ourselves. It's amazing. But we'd like to thank you guys for making it possible. So thank you to Greg, Viger, Juicebox, Kyle, Wade, Bodtech, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Christian, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Alvarin, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, King Kivik, Claude9, Aaron, Graham, Old Man Tup, Alolan Dirks, Colt, Jordan, Locke, Angelic Forest, David, Steve, Joshua, Doc McStuffles, Josh, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, The Trevor Booth, TJ, Alex Nux, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Michael, Taylor, Shambles, Tim, Andrew, Michaela, Dark Shaggy, Chris Farkas, Jeremy, Louise, Justin, Eric, Tank, Tavis, Jonathan, Greg, Chris, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Josh, Dark Flame, Half Full Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Nick, Dylan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Beniza, Orange Avenger, Zuge, Azergurex, Thomas, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Joseph, Travy, Julie, Alex, and the Real EV. Thank you, everybody. This list gets longer every week, and I appreciate everybody who's chipping in, especially those of you who are willing to chip in and help us try to make more badges. This is just a dream, and it's something that we just want to push and make the Puckle community even greater. So we're almost to the tier where we can bring back movie nights, and I'm really excited for that. If we hit that, we can bring back some movie nights. So thanks, guys, and I'll catch you next week. So catch you on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.